When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You are now entering a critical thinking zone. Thinking caps are required beyond this point. From deep behind enemy lines, deep in the heart of the Midwest, it's your host, Andrew Coppins. And it's time for Critical Thinking.
Paul Pelosi got hammered for real. Elon Musk needs a Twitter management course. And did you know, Pat, there are 54 states in the United States of America? All of that happened this weekend. And so much more coming your way here on Critical Thinking. I'm Andrew Coppins. He's Patrick Oney. No.
I'm already done. I'm already done for today. It's over. It's done. It. This weekend was crazy. That's all you need to know. See you later. Don't get lost. Remember who you are. No means no.
No, Pat. No, we can't. What? We can't do that. But yes, Paul Pelosi did get hammered. Like actually hammered.
Wait a minute.
After getting hammered.
Hammered or plowed?
I see what you did there. Mm. Did he go full Lindsey Graham?
I mean, I think only Lindsey Graham can answer that question.
But yes, after what, 2 weeks after being or put into some diversion program or whatever the hell, pleading guilty to a DUI. Paul Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, the third in line for the presidency's husband, right? Nancy Pelosi's husband.
Right.
Was attacked with his own hammer inside his own house at like 2:30 in the morning. Friday night going into Saturday. An alleged former member or current member or whatever the hell's going on, a Castro nudist.
So I have a question. Was it really, given the information there, was it really his own hammer or was it the other dude's hammer?
Again, I see what you're trying to do there. According to police, it was his own hammer.
How much did they pay the police?
I didn't say his own tool. I said his own hammer.
But how much are they paying the police to say that exactly? I'm just curious.
I have a lot of questions surrounding this whole thing. But if you were like totally checked out and you're just tuning back in or checking back in to society. Yes, on Friday night into Saturday morning, Paul Pelosi was allegedly attacked by a 42-year-old man who, if you listen to the 911 tape, right? He didn't know who this person was. And then 3 seconds later, knew exactly who this person was, called him David. and spoke about how he was an unwanted guest in the house. And he was being attacked with a hammer. Now, the only thing that we know to be 100% true in any of this is that there was a man named David in the house. We're not going to use his last name because I don't think it's that important. And more importantly, this dude seems like he's absolutely batshit crazy. In the house, and Paul Pelosi was physically attacked with a hammer. So much so that he actually had to have surgery that night to repair a fractured skull. So that's about the only thing that we know to be 100% true. And even then, can I verify that this was a skull fracture? Yes. Yes, we can. That is verified. How does this stuff keep happening to Paul Pelosi is what I want to know, Pat.
Also, just let's just go with the premise that this guy actually attacked Paul Pelosi in the wee hours of the night of mm-hmm. Friday night and Saturday morning. Let's just go with that premise for just 2 seconds.
Sure.
You were third in line for the presidency being Nancy Pelosi, right? Mm-hmm. You're the Speaker of the House. Where's your security in all of this?
That's a very good question, because there's another question about this entire story in which the police in their report alleged that somebody actually answered when they knocked on the door, right? Because they didn't go in the back or any of that sort of weird stuff. They would have had to have a warrant. They didn't need it because this was a welfare check, allegedly. There was a lot of questions as to who actually called the police to get them there. You know, all this weird stuff. And I don't want to go down the conspiracy theory road necessarily here, but something is fishy, okay? Something is weird about this entire incident, because there's an alleged third person here. The police report is very vague. It basically says we knocked on the door and somebody let us in. Who the hell is the somebody? Because
somebody, right.
The first police 101, you identify that somebody in your police report. You know who right. that individual is. You detain that individual. You make sure that they don't leave the premises. You get that individual's information. And you put their name in the police report.
Right.
You put their name, maybe their occupation, or why they were there. Whatever have you into that. Are we to suggest that Paul Pelosi was the person who answered the door? Could it have been?
Could have been, sure.
But then also, if he had a fractured skull, how the hell was he actually answering the door? Was he just that hammered drunk that he didn't realize he had a fractured skull and then answered the door? But even if that was the case, wouldn't they have identified Paul Pelosi as the person who... Like, this is how, if knowing police work, right, and knowing how these reports are written, having been a grandson to a captain in a sheriff's department, it is very simple. You write it up as this. We knocked on the door. Alleged victim answered the door. That's how you identify the person. You don't even have to use their name. You can just say alleged victim answered the door, let us into the house. We identified the victim. We then proceeded to sweep the house, found the alleged perpetrator, found the weapon, yada, 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 yada. You go through all of that. Who the hell was the somebody that let them into the house? And this is the problem that I have. This could easily just be shoddy police work, stupid police work, right? But it lends itself to... When you add up all of the mysteries that go into this, what the hell is a 42-year-old man doing in the house at 2:30 in the morning? He didn't break in. There were no windows broken. There were no doors kicked in. No, nothing. How the hell did that happen, Pat?
I read somewhere that supposedly this is a guy that knocked on the door and had to use the bathroom.
sure.
Yeah, so here's my question. why is Paul Pelosi answering the door and not
that's somebody, right?
Right, the security of some kind. Why is that happening if that's the case? Furthermore, why was Paul Pelosi, and this is, I actually saw this, I've been trying to verify this part of it. Why was Paul Pelosi not fully dressed?
Yeah, that's actually in the police report, I believed. I believe that they found the victim not naked, but not fully clothed.
Right, and didn't they also find this other guy not fully clothed?
Again, he is a Castro nudist, so yes. An alleged Castro nudist from Berkeley, California.
So whoa. You've got Paul Pelosi that's not fully dressed. You've got this guy that is a Castro nudist. Are we sure for 2 seconds here, are we sure Paul Pelosi isn't swinging for the other team?
So this is the part that I hate going down conspiracy theory roads, right? I really do. But I'm trying to critically think through, how do you have all of these just coincidences, right?
Right.
In what I'm talking about is, number one, again, there's a somebody who answers the door. Okay, if that somebody is somebody who is working for the Pelosi's, right? If that's the house manager, if that is the security guard that's on duty, right? Okay, gotcha. That means that that Paul Pelosi had to have walked into the house with this individual, because the security person or the house manager would never have let somebody in off the street just to go to the bathroom.
Right. There's no way.
That never happens. That's a negatory. Okay.
Also,
not going to happen.
You would also think that Paul Pelosi would be coached to not do something like that for security reasons, given the fact that your wife is the Speaker of the House and third in line for the presidency. You would think that
right.
would
you
be
would
a
think
thing.
A lot of things, but you would be surprised how stupid people are. But even beyond that, Pat, so you got that. we're gonna have to jump over the hurdle of logic, right?
Right.
So that's the first hurdle, the first logical hurdle in the alleged story that we're supposed to believe, right? That this was just a random attack, that that the individual was, you know, some weird nut job just randomly attacking Paul Pelosi, right? We have to jump over the first hurdle of, he was led into the house without Paul Pelosi knowing. That would be the height of incompetence. Is it possible that that's the answer? Sure.
Sure, I guess. I guess that is a possibility.
But it's not the logical possibility. Because it's either they would have Secret Service protection at the house, right?
Right.
Usually that just follows Nancy and she wasn't there. They have a $1 billion enterprise together, right? Her and Paul, or hundreds of millions of dollars, period. Right? Mm-hmm. They would have security, period, amen, at that house. And sometimes that security is just a house manager, right? Somebody who takes care of the home. Okay. So again, how did we get the first hurdle has to be, how the hell did this individual get into the home? There is no sign of forced entry. There are no signs of anything, according to the police. He was led into the home one way or the other by either incompetence or Paul Pelosi's proclivities, shall we say. Because we also have to go back to the DUI incident. Mm-hmm. Because the other allegation in the DUI incident is that the original police report noted that Paul Pelosi was in a car with another individual. There was a second individual. When you look at the body cam footage, you note that there's another individual involved who happens to be a younger man, probably 30 to 40 years younger than Paul Pelosi, because most people are 40 years younger than Paul Pelosi. Okay. So now we got that hurdle, right? He's in the home some way, somehow, right?
Right.
The second hurdle that you have to get over is the coded language in which Paul Pelosi speaks to the dispatcher on the 911 tape, right? It is the closeted code language that gets used often, right? A unidentified man is in the home. Then it's a friend whose name is blank. In that, the coded language is that they're either in an uncomfortable situation or in a situation that they don't want other people to know about. Okay? That's the way that Paul Pelosi speaks. How do we go in less than 30 seconds from I don't know who the hell this is to literally being able to name the guy without the guy telling you his name? How does that happen? You just randomly guessed a David? No, it is, that's a common name, but why not a John? Why not a Dick? Why not a Harry?
Right.
Why not a Tom?
I mean, I guess if you're hit, if you have a skull fracture, I mean, could you possibly be a little delirious and just be saying random crap?
Is that, but
just throwing out a possibility.
Did you listen to the tape? Did you listen to it?
I didn't listen to the tape, no.
Okay. There is very clear that he knows what the hell is going on. He's not okay, delirious. So he's not incoherent in any way, shape, or form. He knows exactly what's happening here. Secondly, we know that Paul Pelosi and this individual allegedly had a fight involving the weapon. What we don't know is who attacked whom. Who started the attack? We don't know. May I suggest humbly, Pat, that David didn't kill himself. Hashtag. It's coming very soon.
Yes.
While this guy has a history of being a whack job, right? He's that kind of a loose cannon that you need to tie that loose end very tight, if you will, right?
Yep.
If you're the Pelosi's, this is the individual you don't want speaking because you think he's unafraid to tell the truth here?
Probably not.
No way, no how. Because he don't
not
care.
Not with what he could get out of it.
So again, we're having to jump over the hurdle of you don't know the individual, but you know the individual's name in less than 30 seconds. I'm expected, based off of the story that the Pelosi's and the DA are telling us, right, that this is a random attack, a random individual in a random home. It could have been anybody. It just so happened to be Paul Pelosi in the news for the third time in like a year, right?
Right.
Just random, totally freaking random. He could have picked any of the row homes or any of the homes in that neighborhood, right? The multi-million dollar homes. He just so happened. And then the other thing that we're allegedly told is that he said, "Where's Nancy?" That's never been verified, right? So there's the third logical hurdle in this entire story. Well, it's very clear he was using this as a political attack because he said, "Where's Nancy?" Not once on the 911 tape, because that 911 call stays until the police get there. Okay? Not once in that tape do we hear him say, "Where's Nancy?" Not once is that mentioned in the police report when they talk to the individual. Not once in any interview does this individual mention Nancy Pelosi.
Yet somehow we're supposed to believe that this was a Republican attack?
And that's I want to touch on that in a little bit. Okay, Pat. But I want to wrap a bow on the logical hurdles that we have to overcome to believe the story that we're being fed, right? And that that third bow is part and parcel of the story that we're going to the other thing that we're going to talk about here. But whether or not the Dems use this as a political ploy, right? Whether or not this is something that they choose to eventually use as a cudgel, right? The third logical hurdle that we're supposed to believe about the story that was fed to us on Saturday and Sunday about how this took place and what was going down is that this was politically motivated, right? I can't jump over any of these hurdles to make any sort of logical sense out of this. Like, if I try to reverse engineer the story, right? Mm. Huh? How does any of this happen? This entire thing stinks. Now, I don't wish ill upon Paul Pelosi. I am glad that he's okay. I hope he makes a full recovery. But beyond that, what is rule number one on this show, Pat? Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Right.
Okay? Rule number one. That's all I ask of you. In fact, if you do that, right, it's very, if you are the individual that likes to pee on somebody's leg, not literally, but figuratively, in logic and in reason and in storytelling, if you're that individual who likes to pee on somebody's leg and then tell them it's raining, you're likely not in my circle, okay? Look, I can BS and have fun with the best of them, as you know, Pat. But you can't bullshit a bullshitter, right? Like, you're not going to... No. We're not going to do that. And in this particular case, what is the... Especially because we've been told by the Democratic Party, right, forever, that... Especially, I shouldn't say forever, but at least for the last 10 years, right? That you should be out and proud to be gay, right? There's right. Nothing wrong with alternative lifestyles. There's nothing wrong with having a wife and a dude on the side, right? We've been told right. That there's nothing wrong with that. So what the hell would they have to hide here? That's the ultimate logical fallacy that I'm trying to figure out, is these are the people who've told us for... better part of how many years now, right? Decade, that you shouldn't be afraid. What does Paul Pelosi have to hide? What does Nancy Pelosi have to hide? Now, I would suggest this. It would follow suit with her, shall we say, devout Catholicism, right? That's probably part and parcel of this, right? Is that, just like her stance on abortion and her stance on communion and her stance on all sorts of things. And it's one of the things that separates a Catholic from a Protestant is the belief in the Eucharist being what, Pat? The embodiment of the blood in Christ, or the blood and body of Jesus Christ. It is the embodiment of that. She probably doesn't believe that either, in which case, are you Catholic, bro? And so I look at it from this perspective. Given her, not just her stature, but given her cudgeled use of Catholicism, is that is exactly why this story is being hidden, right? That's why they're trying to spin this story, because she couldn't possibly use that as the cudgel anymore, because she lives an absolutely broken life at that point, right? The jig is up. But again, I've been told by Nancy Pelosi to be out and proud, right? She's gone on RuPaul's Drag show. She's been, you know, an ally to transgendered movement and this and that, right? So what would it matter if the story was that Paul Pelosi was... having fun with other dudes? What would be wrong with that in her societal structure? She is telling us there's supposedly nothing wrong with that. Why do you need to hide it? Right? In her worldview, in the worldview she has portrayed to the rest of us, here's why, Pat. Because it's all smoke and mirrors with her. There's nothing true, honest, right, or righteous about Nancy Pelosi. Nothing. She is a political robot. And she is an absolute bullshitter. not even the fun kind, right? The guy that likes to tell stories and or the girl that likes to tell stories and have fun and, you know, joke around. No. She literally just bullshits. And this would be absolutely the height of her bullshit. Telling everybody that they need to be out and proud and I'm an ally to the gay, lesbian, you know, whatever alphabet soup you need to put on it. Crowd. And yet her husband can't be out. Well, okay, so your husband's bi. Or more importantly, your husband, you know, is actually gay and has been for a very long time. And you're just keeping up appearances. So you've been living a lie the entire time. What? Okay, but again, your worldview says that there's nothing to be ashamed of. What the hell do you have to hide here? I don't understand the instantaneous, there's stuff to hide. And again, I'm not one to want to go down the conspiracy theory road, but I'm one to take a look at the story that has been told to us versus what actually took place, like the things that we can actually see, hear, and verify, right? And the things that we were supposedly told don't pass the smell test in any way, shape, or form. None of them. Which leads me to, what the hell are they hiding? And why? Why is there something that needs to be hidden here? Also, how the hell is an 82-year-old man up at 2:30 in the morning other than needing to go to the bathroom again? For the third time throughout the night, right?
Great question.
That's an honest to God question. How the hell does 82-year-old Paul Pelosi be up, alert, and with it at 2:30 in the morning?
I'm 33, and I'm generally not up that late at night.
Yeah. May I suggest that there's some thing wrong?
You've seen the show How I Met Your Mother, right?
Yes.
Do you remember the episode where Ted says nothing good ever happens after 2 a.m.?
So, yes. My grandfather told us growing up, quite literally, nothing good happens after midnight.
I mean, that's true, too. So,
but especially after 2 a.m. Nothing good. Nothing good comes of that. And I could tell you a few crazy-ass stories from my own life about that.
Right.
But I just... Because I'm also drawing from my own personal experience, because I had a story involving driving home from the bars at or around bar close, right? I'm at a stoplight downtown Green Bay, Wisconsin, at a stoplight, forgot that my car door was unlocked, had two random girls get into the car. Right? So... If I'm trying to think through this story through that lens too, Pat, right? Now, me being the decent and honorable individual that I am, we were at a stoplight. I needed to go. So I took them home, brought them to the place that they were staying at, and dropped them off. Then went home. I got them home and my cell phone. Do you know how many ways from Sunday that could have gone wrong? Right?
Many. Many.
Many, 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 many. I could have dropped them off and the boyfriend would have been ready to murder me because what the hell's going on, right? They could have been there to rob me. This, that, or the other thing, right?
I mean,
so I'm thinking through that lens, right, Pat? Like, how the hell did that happen? Right? What the hell's going on here? Right? So I'm thinking through that lens of... How the hell does this happen to Paul Pelosi? And can we believe just the story that's being told to us? No, we can't.
No, can't. There's too many questions. There are too many questions that go with this.
Now, the thing that we haven't dealt with right now, or as of yet, is the reaction of the Democratic Party and its power brokers, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. The instantaneous knee-jerk reaction is Republicans. What? And then it's also, we don't do these things. We don't commit political violence.
Who says this? Anything that's had anything to do with political violence?
Right. The instantaneous knee-jerk reaction is that this is political violence in the Republicans and right-wing extremism. They're so desperate to tie that noose around the neck of the GOP that they don't even bother to wait for facts to come out. Now, here's a great example, though, Pat. On the flip side of this, when a avowed socialist Bernie Sanders-loving individual went to the Republican softball baseball practice, right? Before the congressional baseball game, and decided to shoot the place up. Did we immediately suggest that this was a left-wing loon? No. We waited for facts. Now, the facts came very quickly because the person was quickly identified and detained eventually, right? And we were able to ascertain this has got to be politics because it was only politically motivated, and he told you that. Okay. So don't give me the only right-wing extremists commit political violence bullshit.
Question here. Is it possible? Is it possible that the reason why they were so quick to wrap up this investigation and the reason why they are keeping it pretty under wraps of what really happened is so that they could but try to use this as a political cudgel for the upcoming election and going forward? Is that
oh, it's exactly potential... what they were trying to do here. It's 100% what they were trying to do. And in the hope is that this is that October surprise that changes the game and that tsunami that appears to be coming on a state and national level for the Democratic Party, right? They're about to be swallowed up by something that none of us, I think, would ever have thought of. I mean, we're talking about Oregon, Pat, right? Mm-hmm. Oregon, in my entire life, Pat, has never had a Republican governor. My entire life. I would have had to have been born, I think, a year ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And even then, I still wouldn't have, because technically that election year, it would have happened after my birthday, or before my birthday, like a couple of days. Well, maybe a day before my birthday. So I technically wouldn't have been alive to have seen that still in office. We're talking about all of these things that are coming up, right? So how do you change the game? You have Kathy Hochul declaring herself an underdog, right? You've got Gretchen Whitmer standing next to Randy Weingarten reminding people how stupid her lockdown policies were and how and trying to make the case that they're pro-family and pro-freedom, but the two biggest people in the state of Michigan that wanted to keep lockdowns going for EVs and schools, y'all, were whom? Gretchen Whitmer and the head of the teachers union.
Gee.
You know, and I wrote this down prior to coming on air, Pat, but I have never seen a political party make a worse closing argument for electing them than the Democrats this year. I've never seen it. Us because I'm an underdog and John Fetterman is totally sane, and also in the Inflation Reduction Act and... Da 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 da, right?
Right.
And we only kept their schools closed for 3 months, except for that's demonstrably false, and every single parent in the state of Michigan knows that, right?
Right.
I just... And the violence on the New York subway system is it's actually down, and it's not that bad.
Right.
You know, you just have to accept a few people being attacked and thrown in front of trains. You just have to accept it. It's just a fact of living in New York City.
I mean, if they were looking to use the Paul Pelosi story as some sort of political cudgel to claim political violence and whatnot, if they were looking to do that, I don't know. First of all, there's too many questions that people are asking, right?
Right.
And because of that, I don't know that people care enough about that story to say, hey, this was political violence, and to use it in terms of that narrative. I think that's going to end up backfiring on them more than anything.
Oh, 100%, because people are looking at this story through that lens, right? Like, okay, is this really political? Oh, shit. This is an actually radical communist individual who's batshit crazy. That narrative don't hold up, right?
Right.
The other part of this story too, Pat, is that as we take a look at this, on the political violence front, right? Do you really want to compare this to the attempted assassination of like 30 members of Congress? Do you want to go down that road? Do you want to play the but game?
Yeah.
I don't think you want to, because people are going to remember the bombings of the weather under January 6th. This is where they're going, right, Pat? If they can continue that January 6th extremist narrative, that's really what they're hanging their hats on, that and abortion. Like, I don't know how many college football games or how much TV you watched this weekend between the NFL and college football, but here in Illinois, I counted at least a dozen different political ads from the left that mentioned abortion.
Wow.
And it's like, in a state that, what the hell are you attempting to do here? This is not the thing that you think it is that's going to motivate leftists to get out and vote. Do you know what I mean? It's like, this is not
right.
This is not the motivating factor you think it is. And if that's what you're hanging your hat on here in Illinois, you have one of the weakest cases I have ever seen. It's that in the so-called workers' right amendment, Amendment 1, which is the only reason for me to go out and vote this time around here in the state. Yeah, we have a governor race, but the governor's race is going to... It ain't like the Republicans going to win that anytime soon. But that, your case is give the government unions all the power, right?
Right.
And then abort all the babies. I don't think you're making the case that you think you're making. I've never seen a political party make a worse case to elect them, period. Like, January 6th? You know how few people give a shit about January 6th? The only times, even here in Illinois, that I've heard people talk about January 6th? In progressive Chicago. This many times. Squadoosh. Zip, zero, zilch, nada. And it's not because I run in Republican circles. Do you know how hard it is to run in a Republican circle or a Libertarian circle in freaking Chicago?
I mean, you would think that committee goes bye-bye once the Republicans retake the House,
100%,
right?
100%, right. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, okay, so what is the closing argument? January 6th, political violence, abortion. Oh, in the Inflation Reduction Act, which actually doesn't do what you say it does, because that's always the case. And more importantly, Pat, remember how the case is that the Inflation Reduction Act is going to make sure that there's a baseline tax on all corporations that make $1 billion, right? $1 billion valuation or whatever of the corporation, right?
Mm.
Do you know how many corporations will actually qualify to pay this tax?
No.
You can count them on your hands and toes, because there are 14 of them.
Is that all?
So 14 corporations is what you're hanging your hat on to balance the books of the inflation reduction. That dog don't hunt.
Nope.
No. Just no. And furthermore, it actually doesn't even take effect until January 1. If this was the priority, right? Just we gotta hammer inflation, right? We gotta hammer it down. Then why does it take till January 1? I'm asking for a friend.
Why wouldn't you want to do that now?
Right. It's the worst case ever. You know what? Just elect us, because we got to see. It's the Nancy Pelosi. We have to vote for it before we know what's in it, right? We have to. You have to vote for the Democrats in order for you to see the results of the Inflation Reduction Act. Wait, what?
Well, I mean, you got to hammer it down somehow.
I see what you did. You wrapped a bow on that story. And with that, Pat, it is time for us to play a little bit of the bee or not the bee. Are you ready?
Let's do it. You ready for today's headline?
About as ready as Paul Pelosi was to get hammered.
The Washington Post, ruining childhoods one holiday at a time. The Washington Post, ruining childhoods one holiday at a time. Is this the bee or not the bee? That is the question. While you're thinking about that, Andrew Coppins, folks, if you haven't gone to coffeebrandcoffee.com yet, you really, really need to. I'm going to tell you why. I woke up this morning. It was 55 degrees in my house because we didn't turn the heat on last night. Okay.
We're not in Europe, Pat.
I know. We
live in America.
It was a nice day yesterday. We didn't need the heat on. Okay. My point is this. They got some hot chocolate at coffeebrandcoffee.com. If you need to quickly warm yourself up a wee bit in the morning in a cold house, that is a great way to go about it. Speaking from personal experience, by the way. In terms of hot chocolate, I believe they only have three different flavors over there right now. They got the velvet chocolate, the salted caramel, and the marshmallow blend. I have the marshmallow and the velvet chocolate. The velvet chocolate's pretty good. Going to be trying the marshmallow here later this morning. So looking forward to that. They've also got, you know, your coffees and stuff too. They've got tea. They've got all sorts of great stuff over there. They've got some seasonal flavors over there that you can check out. All you need to do is go to coffeebrandcoffee.com, use the promo code CRITICALTHINKING at checkout, and get 5% off your purchase today. That's coffeebrandcoffee.com. Use the promo code CRITICALTHINKING at checkout and get 5% off your purchase today. And by the way, no politics whatsoever.
Yeah, 100% no politics with your coffee. Love it.
Right.
Just really good coffee. Really good small batch coffee.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. The Washington Post, ruining childhoods one holiday at a time. Is this the bee or not the bee? Andrew Coppins, your answer.
Well, today is Halloween, and your costume is very scary, Pat. So I'm going to go with this being not the bee. Because the Washington Post is the Karens of Karens. They hired and keep hiring and keep Taylor freaking Lorenz on staff. So, yes, they're going to ruin every single holiday until the end of time.
I mean, can they just change it from the Washington Post to the Karen Post? okay, you are correct.
Suffered, this is die not- in the darkness.
Yes. If you thought your social betters would give their incessant moral lecturing a momentary rest for a treasured childhood holiday, you thought wrong. Case in point, Washington Post writer Allison, I'm going to guess you say her name is Chu, answering the question no one asked. How can you make more socially conscious Halloween candy choices? Imagine.
Oh, what? Whoa. I swear to God they were going down the cultural appropriation of costumes. Now is that 10 years ago for the woke set?
Probably.
And now candy is problematic?
Yeah.
By the way, there's an actually really, really good idea out there. Have you heard of the teal pumpkin, Pat?
No.
So it started here in Illinois. There's a campaign for people who have food allergies. There's a teal pumpkin that will be set out, and that teal pumpkin will have like non-food gifts in it. For those who have food allergies. I like that. That's a really smart idea. But notice that it's an alternative to regular candy, right? We're not going to give out regular candy.
You also get to be inclusive at the same time. So, imagine all the families out there staying awake at night, wondering how they will ever be able to make more socially conscious Halloween candy choices.
Now, what exactly would be a socially conscious Halloween candy choice, Pat? Pray tell the Washington Post tells us what it is.
I'm getting there. Well, so there's that, and you know, pay the heating bill. Hey, put on a sweater. We've got a planet to save. You see, chocolate, possibly the most popular candy choice of all, is, well, problematic. Chocolate, a fixture of Halloween, can have serious environmental and climate and social impacts. Environmental, climate, and social impacts. That's the coveted trifecta of virtue signaling. While chocolate is a crowd pleaser, do you feel like you're being scolded because you're about to be scolded?
Over here, in the back.
Yeah. Andrew Coppins, the critical thinking, you have a question?
No, seriously, just go to hell. Not you. Yeah. Just this writer. Well, do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Go straight to hell.
Well, the ubiquitous candy has some pretty close associations with two of the biggest environmental crises that we face right now, and that's the climate crisis and the biodiversity crisis, says John Buchanan, Vice President of Sustainable Production for Conservation International. It gets worse.
Oh, God.
As it turns out, chocolate, along with other candy, usually comes wrapped.
I'm just gonna stop you right here. I can't take any more of this. I'm gonna take my laptop and smash it into pieces. This is,
by the way,
effing ridiculous.
Just a fun statistic for you. Americans spent $36.9 billion on candy in 2021. I got a feeling that's going to come down a wee bit in 2022.
Yeah, with lockdowns not in force and all that craziness, yeah, that's going to come down a little bit.
Well, inflation?
No, that will mean that more will get spent, but I get what you're going. I just think that less people are going to be eating chocolate consuming.
For instance,
we haven't bought any Halloween candy at all. Not at all. I mean, now I might go do that tomorrow morning at Target. By the way, pro tip, go the next day and then get the remaining candy at like 60-70% off.
Yeah. We bought some the other night for the first time just for trick or treaters, but yeah.
Yeah. Now, that having been said, Pat, do we talk Elon Musk or do we talk about, actually, you know what? You know who else had a really horrible, no good, very bad weekend and might be hammered?
Is
the only explanation for this video. It's the President of the United States of America, who somehow, in a 10-second clip, managed to pull not one, but two Bidenisms in 10 seconds. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
And by the way, if they do, that means, not a joke, everybody, that's why we were defeated in 2018 when they tried to do it. We went to 54 states.
Okay, he's hammered, but I don't think that he's Paul Pelosi hammered.
Very few people outside of Lindsey Graham are Paul Pelosi kind of hammered. That having been said, at least I gotta put a positive spin on this, Pat. At least he is two states closer to reality than Barack Obama.
How is that possible? Because Barack Obama didn't have dementia issues or cognitive issues.
Yeah, 56 versus 54 states. Also, notice him just stumble over his words. And then use the, this isn't a joke. I'm not kidding.
Not a joke.
Not a joke. Not a joke. What the absolute hell are we talking about? Now, this also came at the same speech, I believe at the Pennsylvania Democratic situation, right? He wanted to tell us, because I mentioned this earlier about the corporations and the Inflation Reduction Act. He told one of the biggest lies ever told by a politician. Even Twitter had to fact check him. That's how bad it is.
Ugh.
He tweeted out and then repeated this lie on the stage in Pennsylvania. Let me give you the facts. In 2020, 55 corporations made $40 billion and they paid zero in federal taxes. My Inflation Reduction Act puts an end to this. That's not true. Because the Inflation Reduction Act imposed a minimum tax on corporations with average pre-tax earnings greater than $1 billion. Again, the Washington Post. Out of the 55 corporations the tweet references, only 14 had earnings greater than $1 billion and would be eligible under Biden's tax law. Can we just say this, though? Immediately after Elon Musk officially buying Twitter, we get an actual liberal fact check?
How does that happen? I mean, he hasn't taken over Twitter for even a week yet, and that's already happening.
The Congressional Budget Office, not only that, Pat, but the Congressional Budget Office, the quote-unquote independent scorer of all these bills, right? Even they come out and say that the proposal's effect on inflation is negligible at best. Negligible. I mean, this isn't even like old school, like fudging around reality, right? Or the old school political trick of taking a vote that was, or taking something that was in a bill as like the hidden part of that bill and then using it as the cudgel in a political attack ad, right? This isn't even that. This is just straight up false. Like, this isn't even close to true. Like, this is verifiably false. Like, it doesn't take a genius. It doesn't take hardly any time to figure this out. Like, you don't have to go searching through the weeds of a bill, right? The 2,000 pages of that tax bill, right? You don't have to go searching. This is literally in front of your face. I have never seen a party make a worse case for itself than the Democrats are doing right now. Never in my entire life. Hey, America, we want to gaslight you. Vote for us. And with that, Pat, any final thoughts on today's show? Because I just can't take it. It's only Monday.
Don't get lost. Remember who you are. No means no. And what in the Epstein Island is going on with Paul Pelosi?
Wait. Didn't you just say that at the beginning of the show and this was all a dream? Please be smart, be safe, be kind. As always, Matthew 5:47.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.